Hello, friends. On today's show, some old guy goes sailing. Another guy lands a plane. A third guy picks something up. And a governor opens some prisons. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the aftertimes.
You get what I'm talking about.
So come on. What say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world? You up for that? Then have a seat. Because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
Too soon?
Always too soon. When it comes to you, Doug, it's always too soon.
Prom.
I like it when they just lay there like that. You know what that's from? That's pop culture as well. That's from The Frighteners.
Oh, gosh.
John Astin.
Man, it's been so long.
I like it when they lay there like that. John, no. Judge Roy Bean. Are you up?
Yes.
Yay. Well, hello, everybody. Here we are off East Street in Hutto, Texas at the... What is this?
The Hall of Fame bar.
Which, by the way, has some badass-looking hamburgers.
Yeah, yeah. You read about those on the community page.
I need to read that before I come here, since I ate a burger at Waffle House before coming out.
I'm sure it's the same type of burger.
It's exactly the same. This no notes.
This burger that we saw was not scattered, but it was smothered and covered.
Yes, it was, and quite beautiful. And you're listening to Two Beers In, a podcast about libations that lead to conversations that end up with...
celebrations.
So there, thank you.
Sure.
In this nation. Shun. Anyway, I am one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. I'm enjoying a big gulp size of Allstadt Kolsch, and I'm very happy to be here.
All right. I'm Monica Ballard, your other co-host. I'm having a Kona beer, not the big gulp size, though. That's so I can change to something different after I'm done with this one.
There you go. And Doug's right over there.
Yay.
I, too, have the Enormo Allstadt Kolsch, which I asked the lady, you know, what type of beer is the Allstadt? And she said, well, we have Kona, and we have Dos Equis, and we have... Okay, could you please get to my question?
You and bartenders, Doug. Man. I know what's up. I don't know what's up with that.
They either want to give you the third degree or they don't want to talk to you at all.
I can't argue with any of that.
Hey, we want to start today's show. Monica and I split gathering duties.
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 Gathering. Always my thing goes off. Okay, here we go. With two stories each. Yep. And Monica, why don't we start with this first one about this person?
Yes! Oh, man. Kenichi Hori claims he is still in the middle of his youth after becoming the oldest person to finish a solo nonstop sail across the Pacific Ocean.
How old is he?
83. He's 83.
Well, if that's middle age, that guy's going to have a really tough life.
Yeah. He's just gone through puberty.
He is Japanese, and you know, they last a long time,
but 166 years is real work.
Japanese don't crack? Is that?
Yes, no. That's the term.
That's the term.
He told CNN, don't let your dreams just stay dreams. Have a goal and work towards achieving this, and beautiful life awaits. His journey across the sea was met with challenges, including a storm soon after the start of his voyage, and a pushback from a strong tide. Okay. He checked in with his family every day by calling on the satellite phone.
Nice.
He said, if I can call at least once a day, they would worry. So he didn't worry anyone. And he wants to keep sailing until he's 100. And
wow.
It was the latest global record for the explorer, who became the first person in 1962 to successfully finish a solo nonstop journey across the Pacific from Japan to San Francisco.
Wow.
And get this, in 1999, he sailed from San Francisco to Japan on a vessel made out of beer kegs.
Were they full, and then, like, as he got to the end, they were empty?
I don't know, but Kenichi, I salute you.
Salute Kenichi. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he did it to get the babes.
That's right. Ask him, what is your motivation? Chicks.
Chicks. I dig chicks.
Chicks.
You got to figure those manatees were looking a lot like mermaids by the time that trip was done.
Manatees are like, we're over here, big boy. He's like, you know, I'm
fool
fine.
Me once.
Yeah, right.
That's why he had the kegs before.
That's it.
Look what I've got. I got beer.
You want to skip to story three, your first story, and then move back to
yeah,
two?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
All right.
So, man with unyielding depression starts picking up litter.
Doug, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
It's not unyielding. I mean, every couple of minutes, I'm okay.
You're like, for a minute, yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah.
And I talk to the bartender.
Woe is me. I'm getting eyeliner and doing poetry.
Yep. You're goth. You've dug the goth. That's something to see.
Yep.
So a 32-year-old began picking up litter to help his mental health, and now his whole family spends quality time together on the cleanup. While helping their community. Mike Scotland began experiencing depression in his late 20s. And after struggling for some time, he said, you know, I'm just going to start picking up litter. I'm going to try to do something. I'm going to try to help. You know, maybe that'll help me feel. Because studies have shown that if you're in, you know, it's kind of like it's a version of to get over someone, get under someone else. Well, this is close to that. It's like if you're really depressed, go help somebody.
Okay.
Right, it's all connected, it's, right?
I'm sure it
it's
is.
It's exactly the same thing.
I don't doubt in your mind Thank you, that Monica. It's all connected.
I don't know why you're not a professional therapist. I don't see any issues.
I'm feeling depressed. I know exactly what to do.
Uh-oh.
So it changed his mind. But whenever Mike would pass the river, a known local dumping ground, the rubbish would remind him of that dark day. So he decided to take matters into his own hands.
And this took place where?
This took place in Aberdeen, Scotland.
Wait. His name is Mike Scotland, and he lives in Scotland?
This is simulation territory, isn't it?
The writer was busy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Mike Scottish guy.
Mike Scottish guy from Scottish Scott, area.
Yes.
It does sound like Mike Scott wrote it.
Yep, there we go.
And what was his name? Mike
Scotland. Scotland. Sure, yeah, he's looking around. And Scotland.
And he was from
Aberdeen, Scottish
Scotland.
Place. Yeah, Scotland place. He said, of course, now, you didn't do the accent for the Japanese guy, so I won't do the accent for the Scottish guy. He says, I was in a really dark place. I was saved by a phone call that stopped me. Oh, so he was going to take his matter into his own hands.
Oh, wow.
So, but after that, whenever I walked past the area, I felt like a dark shadow was haunting me. So one day, I took 3 black bags and went down to the riverside. Oh, I don't like where this is going. And just started.
Never saw that girl again.
And
I think
started.
I saw this on CSI.
And yep. Started picking up litter. So there was a person on a bike that stopped me and asked what I was doing. And I told him I was picking up litter. And he said, can I help?
Oh.
And so he parked his bike, and me and this guy ended up spending the next couple of hours picking up litter. And had the most open and honest chats about anything and everything. Which is, that's the way it is. With guys, if they're going to talk,
yeah,
they have to be doing something else.
Like, I think I saw this in Tom Sawyer.
It's not like Doug and I can be like, hey, Doug, let's go sit, have some tea. I really need to talk to you.
I want to talk about our feelings.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, let's do that. And I'd be like, no.
You're like, oh, okay, I need to know where the pod is.
Let's go throw stones. Let's go throw rocks at stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could do that.
And then in the middle, like.
I dig that.
So how you been? Well. My hands are chafed because I've been throwing stones.
Tell me how you feel. Hungry.
Hungry.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's like, yeah. So, true to his word, before Mike headed home, he told the stranger, he's going to just start doing that. I'm going to start a group. And true to his word, he started the group Community Cleanup, and over the next few months, they gathered weekly to beautify the land around the river. To date, they've collected almost 30,000 pounds of litter and pulled in a whopping 5,500 pounds of metal from the river bottom.
Oof.
All of them guns.
Yeah. Right.
So, not in Scotland. So, they were probably maces.
That's true.
So Nikki Scotland with their two youngest. Okay, well, that's just the picture thing. There was about 4 to 6 people that showed up, but we ended up cleaning up over 3,000 kilograms or 660 pounds of litter over a couple of hours the following weekend. So it just kept building.
Yeah.
And then he's now a father of 3, and he says, my family, we continue to do that. And so from that, they've been able to gather up to, it's something like 3 tons
Jeez.
Of litter over the years, over the past 13 or 14 years. And so it's like, it's just funny how just deciding to do something, he's like, I'm going to figure out how to not be in this way.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something and how it can inspire other people.
So I love this part of the story. One of the things that we used to do as father and son was go out dressed as Batman and fight the litter. It was a great way to get him outside and teach him about the environment. And then he said last year in the aftermath of Storm Babette, which I guess was a big hurricane-like storm,
sure.
Mike recalls the horrible amount of litter that washed up, and he'd never seen anything like it. My son couldn't
understand. You did the accent.
Yes, I
did.
My son couldn't understand why people were just walking past it. He really wanted to help clean it up, and he asked if we could find people to help us. So went on Facebook, did a live video, and everyone cleaned up the mess with about 45 minutes.
25
people who
showed
came
up.
Down there.
Amazing.
Community cleanup, though, that needs a rebrand.
Yeah.
I would call it, ready?
Go.
Aberclean.
Yeah. You need to write Mike Scotland.
Dear Mike.
Suggestion.
Dear Mike, I'm a wizard.
By the way, Doug's having a good time with the bad cable.
Bad cable.
My
bad.
Cable sometimes is here, sometimes is over there.
So that'll be nice. I just want to acknowledge it in case
someone
who's listening is going, why is Doug?
Why are they strangling him?
Yeah. You know what you did.
You bothered the bartender.
Considering all the things he said before, now they're strangling.
Yep, that's right.
Don't understand.
So now they've got a database of over 100 locals, which they loan out to groups keen to do their own cleanups. So they send them out and proselytize. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. He says over time, it should hopefully reduce the amount of people littering in the first place.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because if they picked it up and they see somebody doing it, they'll beat them up.
We know it would be better instead of picking up litter, not having the litter show up in the first place.
Yeah, you see somebody throw a can, you beat them up.
That's right. I mean, it's Scotland. They do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you think Batman's going to come up and clean up? Well, actually, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to clean up the city. Yeah. So, yeah, good for Mike Scotland, if that is his real name, and his family, doing the thing. Congrats. All right, Monica.
All right. Yay. Second story that I found was a passenger lands plane after pilot becomes incapacitated.
See, once again, it's connected because it's like that kid that stopped the bus.
Yes.
There we go.
All right. So a man with no flying experience managed to land a private plane after the pilot lost consciousness off the coast of Florida. In a statement, the Federal Aviation Administration said the pilot told his two passengers he wasn't feeling well.
And then proved it.
He collapsed against the controls, putting the aircraft into a nosedive and sharp turn. One passenger, Darren Harrison, grabbed the controls, pulled the plane out of the nosedive, and radioed air traffic control. He said, I've got a serious situation here. Oh, really?
Yeah.
My pilot has gone incoherent. I have no idea how to fly the airplane.
Wow.
They said, nice knowing you.
Yeah, they're like, well, you're going to die.
Air traffic controller Robert Morgan who was also a certified flight instructor, was on a lunch break when the call came in from the plane, and he walks by the tower control room, and he says, the room is really busy. And they're like, hey, this pilot's incapacitated. The passengers are flying the plane. They have no flying experience.
Bear is driving car. How can this be?
Morgan had never flown this model of Cessna. And he pulled up a picture of the instrument panel layout on the computer and started guiding the passenger. He said, I knew the plane was flying like, you know, any other plane. I just had to keep him calm, pointing to the runway, and just tell him how to reduce power so he could descend to land. And said, felt really good to help someone.
Sure.
Well, that's understatement.
You know.
Come on.
I bet everybody on that plane went and got pilot lessons right after that.
Yep. In Florida?
Yeah. If it was Alaska, we knew they already knew how to fly.
All right.
So in another miracle, the pilot underwent surgery for a life-threatening emergency and has since been released from the hospital.
Oh.
So,
do you have an aneurysm? Or
Sounds like a blockage of some type.
Yeah. For him to pass out like that.
Then he let out a really long fart, and he was like, sorry.
Ah, so you're not only a therapist, but a doctor.
Yeah.
You're multi-talented today.
So Cessna, probably they didn't have to worry about, you know, things like cabin pressure or anything like that.
Right.
Cessna's pretty easy to fly and control.
Oh, that's right. Monica knows how to fly a plane.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But if you've not, I mean, but I, if you put me in the in either seat up front of a Cessna these days, I'd be like, okay, what the hell is this? Because it's like if you put me in front of a control board for a radio station.
Sure.
And it's like the technology is completely different.
But
by
it's
now.
Not totally past. You'd be able to go, okay, this thing is like this other thing.
Altitude,
this is like sure.
Ailerons, that
sure.
kind of thing. Yeah.
This okay. drive by wire. Okay. Yeah, let's do this.
Rudders. Yeah. Move my seat up so my feet can
touch the pedals.
Touch the rudder pedals. Yeah. I've
turn on autopilot.
Ma'am, you're sitting on the nose of the plane. Could you scoop that and itch?
Let's let the AI take care of it.
I'll just let you know, when I was first taking flying lessons and with an instructor, and he said, okay, now make a slow, gentle left turn. And I kind of laughed out loud for a little bit, and he said, what's so funny? And I said, I actually looked for the turn signal.
Stick your arm out the window.
Ding, 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 signaling. Ding, ding.
Ma'am, you don't have to signal.
You don't have to signal.
Just go. Just go. So we had the weed episode a few weeks ago.
Yes. Whee!
So I have a and by the way, I had a few people. They wanted to hear the show. I've been, you know, really pushing the show, and they're like, "Well, what episode?" It's like, you should listen to the weed episode.
You should listen to the weed.
Episode 420. Easy to remember.
Called "You Cool." Yeah. So yeah, here's a follow. Not a follow up, just kind of along the lines of what we were talking about before. So, governor issues largest ever pardon of U.S. cannabis convictions, with 175,000 Marylanders getting clemency. I didn't even know that there was 175,000 people in Maryland.
Oh, they're Maryland. They're in Maryland, of course. They're
I think it's got about
Baltimore.
6 million.
Yeah,
Baltimore. Baltimore.
They're mostly
sure.
in
yeah.
Baltimore. Yeah.
Sure. So Wes Moore, who is the governor, recently ordered the largest mass pardon of petty and recreational cannabis convictions ever seen in a single state, with 175,000 criminal records and electronic dockets set to be updated.
Can you imagine how much wasted money and bureaucracy there was involved in all of that?
Yes.
It's insane.
Yep. Yep.
Just bad planning on our
it's,
part.
It just sounds so snotty the way it's written. It's 3.5 times larger than a similar pardon in Oregon.
So we covered that story in 420 because I was like, was I high or didn't we do this story already?
Yeah.
I was not high.
Yes. On both.
Doesn't surprise me that Maryland was more litigious than Oregon on pot.
Yeah, that's true. So the governor said the action couldn't reverse the harm that decades of failed drug war policies have done, particularly to black Marylanders. but that it instead represents the first of several actions on the road to a more just legal system.
Yeah, I forgot about that part, that Oregon was a big white supremacist.
Yes, absolutely.
Thing for a long time. Okay, that makes sense
and
now.
And still, you know, you go to the west part of, or the east part.
Yeah,
east.
Over there by Idaho. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
That's true. That makes sense.
So for context, recreational cannabis was used, was legalized in the state in 2023, following a referendum in 2022, which passed with a 2/3 majority. For further context, Governor Moore's order consists of pardons, which are different from expungement. So can't be expunged yet. We're taking actions that are intentional, that are sweeping and unapologetic. And this is the largest such action in our nation's history.
So to expunge a charge is to erase it from the record entirely.
There's no record of it.
Right.
And legally speaking, both should have the same effect
they
on determining
should.
Someone's eligibility. Because it affects education, employment, housing, job hunting opportunities, all of that. So.
But sometimes expungement makes you wonder why a person had that big hole in their, you know, history and stuff. So.
Oh, that's when I was sailing across the Pacific on beer cans.
On beer cans, yeah.
For the chicks.
Yeah. So
and the manatees.
Well, but also this means that when they start selling pot in, you know, besides not just making it legal, but they're able to sell it.
Okay.
Sometimes there's a note saying you can't have been convicted of selling drugs before you become a dealer.
Or they're trying to give them first dib on permits.
Right, but so they would be able to. But they would be able. So that's the question, is if in their record, if it's showing that it's in their record, but they were pardoned, mm-hmm. will they still be able to deal?
Yeah.
Or does it need to be expunged? Because if it's expunged, then it's never had that record. Therefore, then they can do it that way.
It depends. It's all still up in the air. Speaking of which, is it legal for regular use in Maryland?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. I mean, in Oregon, I don't have any questions, but
yeah.
I don't know about Maryland.
Recreational cannabis use was legalized in 2023.
Oh, man. I can't wait until our state comes into this century.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
No politics, Doug. No politics.
I mean.
So, yeah. So, America has almost arrived at the ultimate tipping point for the recreational use of cannabis, with 24 states plus the District of Columbia having already legalized it.
Hmm.
Anyone charged in federal court under sentencing guidelines for the simple possession of cannabis? Yeah. President Biden issued full pardons for anybody, and it says around 7,500 convictions, which seems awfully. That's a federal. That must be for a federal.
Yeah,
federal is usually, you know, you brought in a plane full of cocaine, as opposed to you were smoking a doobie and the officer didn't like you because he'd had a run-in with you before.
Yeah, and you know they're also talking about. As we talked about before, they're looking to change the scheduling to 3 instead of to 1, where it is now.
Yeah, I think our federal prison system ranks number 15 in the U.S. or something after 14 states ahead of them.
It's
not big.
No. So, that's everything, right?
That is all four stories. I was waiting to see how you were going to...
Did you do both of yours?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now,
beer keg guy.
We could see one way that we could raise money.
Yeah.
Is to start 2 beers in brownies.
Yeah.
Start selling those.
2 brownies in.
2 brownies in. Yeah. Which would be really bad.
And normally we chill
That's a totally different. That's a catatonic show right there.
Hey.
It's still on.
Why?
Is there a microphone?
6 hours, Brett. It's been 3 minutes. We could do that.
Waffle House.
Oh, that's really why I went to Waffle House. That's not true. We could do that, or you could subscribe.
Yeah.
By going to patreon.com/2beersin, where there are so many wonderful things that are on that site. you know, like shows that you usually get before we publish them on Monday at 6 o'clock in the morning. We also have an extra episode for each time we put out one episode. We have the Patreon episode where it is a little less structured than this.
Yep. Sorry, this was structured? Okay.
We wrote things down.
Yeah, we wrote things down.
He said the S word.
Yeah. you know, we're looking for producers, too, to help. You can become an executive producer by giving us even more money.
Yeah. You don't even have to sleep with us, or we don't have to sleep with you, or...
Kids weren't going to do good in college anyway.
You can give us money to not sleep with us. How about that? My wife was like, all right.
All right.
I was like, that's not nice. So, yeah, you can do that. Or you can go to Patreon, or excuse me, you can go to Venmo or PayPal and do a one-time payment to twobeersin at weightlesspod.com. Any amount is welcome. It's not real money. Just send it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
And we will use it to, you know, upgrade equipment and get a better cable. yeah, so we hope to do that. So we have a song that Monica picked out.
Yes.
And I went ahead and downloaded. What I wanted to do, I was going to put on a little bit of bad news. Kinky Friedman, those who may know him, raconteur, musician, writer.
Would-be politician.
Has passed away at 79.
Yeah.
And I went to find his most popular song, which is They Don't Make Jews Like Jesus Anymore, which is great song until I started really listening to it. And I'm like, I am not playing that song on this podcast.
I offended myself.
Yeah, it's not offensive. It's just more like, nope, nope, nope.
For a show that stays away from politics.
Yes, it does not.
That was probably a good choice.
Yeah, so I then agreed upon, yes, Monica, we should stick.
It's summer. It's the first week of summer.
Yes, it is.
And this song... by a Scandinavian group called Diesel, had a one-hit wonder. It made number one in Canada, and I think it went up to like number eight in the U.S.
Okay, when was this?
Oh, 1983.
Okay,
something like that. But anytime I hear, you know, one of those radio stations like Jack FM, we'll play anything. I'm going, really?
Will you, Jack?
Will you? Yeah. Will you play Sausalito Summer Nights by Diesel? Because I don't think you will.
I don't think you will.
But last month when we had that huge gully washer of a storm, and I ducked into Tumble 22 to have some hot Nashville chicken,
yum.
I was sitting there and all of a sudden I can pick this song out in through crowd noise like crazy, and I was like, and I must have been sitting there with this gobsmacked look on my face. And the server came over and he said, will there be anything else? And I said, no, I'm just astonished because nobody knows about this song except me. No one knows about this song. And there it is, playing off in the distance. And he said, what is it? And I said,
oh, darn it.
Sausalito Summer Nights. And he was like, yeah, I don't know that song.
I was hoping for sure that he would go, what, you mean Sausalito Summer Nights? And you're like, son of a
But I think we've all had road trips like this that went horribly wrong. And, I mean, you're just trying to get from L.A. to San Francisco.
Sure.
Without beer kegs. And and the Rambler breaks
down. As well on land.
And the Rambler breaks down, and there's all sorts of adventures.
Yes.
So, enjoy.
Yes. And thank you for listening to us. Prepare to listen to the song. I've been your host, Brett Weaver, with now a very empty, this really was two beers.
Keg of Kolsch.
I will get another or something
get
else.
Get a reasonably sized beer.
Again, Brett Weaver.
Monica Ballard enjoying a Kona. Man, I'm almost at the bottom of the Kona, too.
And there's Doug.
halfway through my Kolsch and halfway through, you know, fizzing out on this cable.
Microphone. All right. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye.